And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, flavor, stories from the land, interconnectedness, nutrition, relationships, inner and outer sustainability, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And Sita Rani Brian.
And today's show is all about the healing power of food. We truly are what we eat, more so than we ever assumed or intuitively knew, actually. We have a lovely show lined up for you today with guests and experts from the world of holistic nutrition and healing arts. All that and more today on An Organic Conversation.
Yeah, you know, as a produce manager, even as a very young produce manager many years ago, I always knew that eating a ripe fig or a pear or a date could just make the difference in your day just from that physical act of doing it. And now all the studies and all the information out there is actually proving that it not just emotionally, but physically is making a huge difference in your day.
Absolutely. Well, this is my life's work, and I am consistently overwhelmed and exhilarated and empowered by how much choice we have in our health and our journey by eating well. So Can't wait to get this show on the road.
Yes, you are what you eat, the healing power of food, today on An Organic Conversation.
But first, the green headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. Russia is experiencing the beginnings of the active house movement, with at least 9 eco-friendly houses springing up across the country. The active house principle dictates that buildings should be able to produce more energy than they use. Russia currently wastes enough energy to power a small country, but is now on track to reduce energy usage by 40% by the year 2020. President Obama has instituted a 12 to 18 month delay for the widely criticized Keystone XL pipeline project, a move which many activists say could be the final nail in the pipeline's coffin. The delay, which will provide time to review the potential impact of the project, has been applauded by the League of Conservation Voters as a win for the environment and public health. And a plan to ban the sale of plastic water bottles in the Grand Canyon National Park has been scrapped, despite the fact that water bottles make up 30% of the park's solid waste. Similar projects have succeeded in Zion and Hawaiian National Parks, but the Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility have suggested that the Grand Canyon ban met with resistance from Coca-Cola, which is a distributor in the park as well as a donor. And those are the green headlines. Back to you, Helga.
Thanks so much, Jen. Jen Lloyd, for this weekly update. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Brian.
And we'll take a super quick break, but stay tuned for our first guest here in the studio with us, a leader in the world of holistic nutrition for many, 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 many years, as we are talking about the healing power of food. You are what you eat, only here on An Organic Conversation. Stay tuned.
Shoes untied, and your soul's warm. Windows are rolled down. Sunny.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Brian.
What we eat defines us as a society and individually. The food we eat can make us sick or contribute to our overall well-being and health. It was Hippocrates who coined the sentence, "Thy food is thy medicine," some 400 years BC. So for about 2,500 years, we have known that food is powerful. And so we wanted to dedicate today's show to the healing attributes of food. We are what we eat. Today's topic on An Organic Conversation. With us here in the studio is Ed Bauman. Dr. Ed Bauman, president and founder of Bauman College, one of the leading holistic nutrition and culinary arts institutions in the United States. Ed, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
So good to be with you guys. Feels like family already.
Yes, after 7 minutes. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Ed, not really capturing it to say that this is your life. It's your life and beyond. It's everything you do, think, and talk about. When did you come into the field of holistic nutrition and recognize this is so important and it's my passion, and merge the two as a career?
Well, a little history. I grew up in Washington, D.C., insight of the White House. So I had aspirations to change, make the world a better place. And that was also the same time when we had Velveeta cheese and Wonder Bread and Tang and ice milk and just the incredible amount of garbage that came into the food chain.
You were literally growing up in the White House now.
I grew up in a White House, in sight of the White House. And then I went to law school. And I figured I'll be a change agent through politics and do social good. And in law school, I saw it was very commercial. And people were there largely to make money. And I was there to study life. And then I had an epiphany of studying natural law. So at age 23, I called my folks. I go, well, I've found my path. I'm going to study natural law. And moved to the country. And voila, I was living on an organic farm. So as a young guy in my early 20s, I bought 160-acre organic farm in western Massachusetts with my colleagues, commune, and started growing, cooking, sharing food and restaurants and studying natural health.
And then from there, we will dive into the different stages and what you're doing now, of course, with Bauman College. But when did you recognize the impact of your work and that this field will be arguably one of the most talked about areas to define it, the well-being of a society, really, the way we grow food, the way we eat, what we eat?
I had the blessing of studying with Bernard Jensen, who said nature has a remedy, and Pavo Airola, How to Get Well, and other old-timers. And I knew Max Gerson, which was really a blessing. So the kind of historical roots of natural health had been diminished and lost in the 50s, 60s. And I went to grad school and said, let's do natural health, natural nutrition. They go, we're dietitians. We don't do that.
We're talking with Dr. Ed Bauman, the founder and president of Bauman College, one of the leading culinary arts and holistic nutrition institutions in the United States and perhaps the world. Yes, Mark.
Oh, you know, Ed, I was a few years ago, I was working with some dietitians and they invited me to go to the ADA show. And I was walking the show and I was seeing all these tubes of things and I saw all this.
What's the ADA show?
The American Dietitian Association. And it was a national show and I was walking around with them and I was saying, now you guys are about diet. Where's the food?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, here it is over here. And it was this tube that you could give somebody who needed a little bit more nutrition and stuff like that. And I said, no. Where's the produce? And and they said, we don't have that here. We don't have that here at this show. Or as part of it, because we teach about nutrition. So it was interesting that you were saying.
Or diet.
Well, let me say this: there's some really cool dietitians out there.
Yeah, yes.
So I'm not into arguing, but the point is.
But what's the big? Can you kind of skip out the two worlds? Right. There's there's diet and there's nutrition.
It's simple. There's food from the earth, and that's what we're advocating. And then there's food that's been processed and prepared and nutrients replaced. So that's called functional food. So I'm all about, always have been all about food from the earth and food from good soil and food grown with care and love and clean. So that's the basis of the Eating for Health model that I created and then created a school and an institute and training programs around eating for health.
So it's fair to say that a dietitian or the science of diet really goes by these many nutrients, this amount of vitamin C to keep a person healthy. And Mark was saying it's really the whole foods approach that not just you stand for, but that's often seems in stark contrast to the world of measured milligrams of substances.
What we're looking at now is a renaissance. And a renaissance is rebirth, renewal, and going back to old principles and bringing them forward. So we know that, and other people are so excited by that. And now we see data on healing foods. And the thing that's very exciting is everything that eats well lives. And things that eat poorly get ill. So whether it's plants or animals or humans, the culture is really based on what's fresh and natural. And now we need to bring that to as many people as we can.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
Hey, you know, Helga, I was wondering, you've often brought that. Ed was just bringing up whether it's plants or people.
Yes.
And I was just wondering about, you have always talked about that a healthy plant actually produces healthier food when you work with Marin Organic, right?
Well, I studied at Bauman College years and years ago. And in my final paper, I looked at the nutrients and minerals that were the most depleted in organic soils and in non-organic soils, and compared that to studies of mineral density and nutrition density in organic soils. Mm-hmm. Usually you can grow a plant by just giving it nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, NPK. And if you keep doing that, we know that plants take up a much greater variety of soil minerals and nutrients. Over time, you will deplete the soil. Whatever's not in the soil cannot be in the plant. If it's not in the plant, it's not in your diet. Mm-hmm. And then if it's not in your diet, it won't be in your body. So growing in the most nutrient-rich soil is a requirement for the healthiest food possible. Organic or not, but organic soil management practices are at the heart of what the organic standards stand for. And so it was stunning for me to see that what's missing the most in the soil is directly correlated or correlatable to the disease that would be supported or avoided to some degree by the nutrients that I'm missing the most in our diets. Mm-hmm. So heart disease, for example, over half of all deaths in the United States are contributed in one way or another to heart disease. And heart disease comes from a number of factors, smoking, lack of exercise, all that. But the most important heart health element is selenium, and selenium is basically depleted in most U.S. soils that are not organic. Hmm. So you can go down the list of, really the top 8 or top 10, and I've only stopped there. I'm sure you can go further than that. What exactly is missing in the soil is exactly what's also killing us.
I think that's such great data. And Ed, you were just talking about data a minute ago, and I'm curious if you can tell us. I mean, intuitively, all of us here at this table and many of our listeners know that good food is the beginning ground that defines our health. But I'd love to know what are a handful of studies that you've seen recently that are proving this correlation between good food and health?
What I'd like to share with our listeners is organic-center.org. Okay, so it's pretty simple, organiccenter.org, and the work of a Dr. Benbrook in the UK.
Chuck Benbrook.
Yeah. Yes. So he did good data about the difference between 11 different plants and the values of organic versus commercial and what's lost and what's gained. So lost with commercial and gain. The other data that's really exciting is the importance of organic for animal foods, because there's kind of a bias towards, well, we're plant-based and we're vegans and that's good. But many people are not, and animals that eat organic have higher values of essential fatty acids. They have higher values of minerals. They have better pH balance. So that work is also really exciting. A study that came on my radar just the other day that I want to report is a study with sixth graders in Michigan. And what they looked at is the difference between people who ate school lunches versus people who brought their lunch to school. It's 4 years of data. And what they found is the kids in sixth grade had cardio disease if they ate the school lunches.
Wow.
They had elevated cholesterol. They had elevated triglycerides. They had other kinds of circulatory problems. They watched more television, played more video games. So they did a program called Heart Healthy Habits, sixth grade. And a year later, they found noticeable improvements in biochemical markers and in behavioral markers and in school health. And it was about bringing food to school. So what we're looking at is getting the families involved in making fresh food. And the kids leverage the parents when they get this kind of education.
Mm, that's great.
This is one of those moments where I am so grateful that my mom cooked everything for me, that I took lunch to school every day, that she made us something fresh for dinner every night. Now as an adult, I have so much appreciation for it because I enjoy such good health. And that's actually what made me want to become a chef. That's what got me into the holistic movement. That's what brought me to love Bowman College as well, which is that there's such a direct correlation, not just behind cooking your food and eating it yourself, but also the intention that you put within it, the spirit of giving and sharing. It all contributes to vitality.
And there's so much more to it. It's not just what's in the food, but also what's not in the food when we talk about organic or non-organic and how we eat it. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Wolcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Bryan.
And with us in the studio is Dr. Ed Bowman, the founder and president of Bowman College, one of the leading culinary arts and nutrition institution in the United States and perhaps beyond. We'll dive more into the topic of you are what you eat and the healing power of food when we come back right after the break. Stay tuned.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Trace, the new signature restaurant at the W San Francisco, is committed to creating an enriching and thoughtful culinary experience. By fusing the vibrant local personality of the Bay Area with a dedication to socially responsible food, Trace ensures all the ingredients are traceable back to their natural origins, locally sourced and sustainable. For reservations, visit trace-sf.com, T-R-A-C-E-S-F.com, or call 415-817-7836.
Bowman College has been offering professional training in nutrition and the culinary arts since 1989. Natural chefs will learn to master a healthful approach to classic culinary techniques, while nutrition consultants become experts in client consultation and the promotion of individualized plans for optimal health. Bowman College, a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. To find out more, visit bowmancollege.org. That's BAUMANcollege.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Bryan.
We are What We Eat. Today's topic on this show for this hour with us here in the studio is Dr. Ed Bauman, the president and founder of Bauman College, one of the leading holistic nutrition and culinary arts institutions in the United States. Before we dive more into the world of holistic nutrition, here is Mark Mulcahy with What's in Season.
And if we are what we eat, hopefully we're eating persimmons right now. You know, persimmons is also one of those things that people walk by often because I think they don't quite know what to do with them, right? They get them. Maybe they tried one and they bit into it and it was a little astringent and it wasn't quite ripe yet. And then they go, okay, I don't like persimmons. But do not let a bad experience with a persimmon, you know, keep you from eating them because they are just amazing. Now, we do have persimmons that grow in the United States, and they actually grow wild from Connecticut to Texas, but that's not what you're finding in the store. The varieties that you're finding in the store are actually started in China and are from Japan, and they are known as Hichia or Fuyu persimmons, and they are a part of a 2,000 different Japanese varieties. There's 2,000 varieties of Japanese persimmons that are grown, and we primarily eat two of them here if you find them in the stores. Now, the Hichia is that one that looks kind of heart-shaped. It always reminds me of a heart. I'm fortunate that I have trees around my house where they hang, and they look like little trees of hearts hanging in the fall. And those are the ones that you want to let get really soft. You want the skin to get really translucent. And you want it to be actually almost squishy before you eat it. So it takes about 7 to 10 days at room temperature for it to get that way. And you do not want to eat them early. If you don't have patience, you can always stick them in a jar or a bag of uncooked dry rice for 3 to 5 days. And that'll speed it up. If you really are an impatient person, then you can just take them, stick them in the freezer. And within 24 hours, they'll get that pudding-like consistency. And you just stick your spoon in there, and it's like eating, oh, the food of the gods. Literally, it is just creamy and lovely and sweet and decadent. Now, the other persimmon is actually kind of round and squarish and actually has this beautiful little star-like design when you cut it open in the middle, and that is called a fuyu, and you want to eat that, which You want to eat that when it's firm. You just want to have it slightly soft, but you can eat that firm. It doesn't have, you don't have to wait 7 or 10 days to eat it. And fuyu actually means winter in Japanese, so it's a perfect food for this winter time. So you can eat it, you know, pretty hard like an apple, but you want to stay away from a fuyu that has a green tinge to it because it means it was picked too green. And so that means it will not have quite the flavor you want. That fuyu can be sliced up. You can put it on salads. It's just wonderful. Or eat it like an apple, like I was saying. So do not pass by those persimmons. They are truly an autumn and winter treat out there right now.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Mukahi with What's in Season. And so true, do not let a bad experience turn you off, whatever it may be, persimmons or passion fruit or strawberries or love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll all, just try it again. One day, you know, when it's right, you'll have that perfect persimmon.
And you'll be glad you did. And you'll be glad you did. Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Ryan.
And we are talking about food, actually. Food, thy food is thy medicine, term or a sentence coined by Hippocrates 2,500 years ago. We know the power of food, and yet only now, really recently in the last 20, 30 years, maybe in the last 10 years or 5 years, more and more nutritional studies available. With us in the studio is Dr. Ed Bauman, president and founder of Bauman College, one of the leading culinary arts and holistic nutrition institutions in the United States. Ed, how is the landscape shaping up now? How is it changing? It seems there's a huge rise in awareness. Obviously, obesity numbers are skyrocketing. We are one of the unhealthiest countries on this planet. Does that mean there's more research dollars available? Your work must be welcomed with open arms.
Yeah. You know, I'm a good news guy. There's always good news and bad news. And when you look in the paper, it's all bad news.
The show is mostly about good news.
I know, but that's why we're here. But the point is, there's really a show me attitude now of proposals, requests for proposals. And give me a model that works. And our school's been developing community models that are collecting data and show a lot of benefit and efficacy. And with 2012 being an election year, it's a conversation piece. Yes. So what we're going to see in the conversation is, are we going to keep supplements or are we going to lose supplements? So that's a big rallying point for us. We like supplements. And what about food? What about the ability to grow food? There's going to be some issues around food safety and who can grow food. So the point is, the national conversation around food is very loud, and also cost containment for medicine. So I'm working on projects with my local hospital to bring health and wellness and nutrition and cooking right into the hospital, because hospital food will not support life. We've demonstrated that.
Yes, and the ad campaign of a very well-known healthcare provider is, it's all about you know, holistic, preventative, thriving. So right. I think we don't have a choice at this point anymore, right? The numbers are so staggering that this will drive us into another financial crisis because we can't afford the consequences of our healthcare system.
Well, as I said earlier, we're going to rebound.
40 years. Yes,
you know,
we
are on the upside.
We are rebounding.
Yeah, I can feel it.
So, yes, and organic food, what is the role that plays in those studies? I know you talked about the Organic Center, but what's the role in the studies that you're seeing?
You know, who's going to fund food? Well, a commercial company will fund commercial food, but for natural and organic, and particularly within the realm of lifestyle, we have things like the Dean Ornish program. So that was a nice program with food and stress management and yoga and social support that showed people had recovery from cardiovascular disease. And then he's done a study also. The good research is coming from Asia and coming from Europe. There's Zippo, Nada coming from the United States.
And actually, that brings us right to the next point we wanted to make, which is beautiful. There are different ways of using food.
Yeah, and I'm curious if you can talk about, I mean, we talk about using it to help support people in their recovery from illness, but we also talk about it in a preventative way. Can you speak to each of those and the role that food is playing? And I mean, you've got such a experience in both of those.
Well, prevention is not a mammogram or a colorectal exam. That's not prevention. Prevention is lifestyle. Prevention is fresh and natural and light and people and touch and community and culture and value. So those are preventive things. There's a movement called transition movement, which is going all over the place, about saying, let's create community. Part of community is gardening. Part of it is creating foods for kids and foods for seniors. And so it's getting the message across that people don't have to get ill to get help. And that with all these people out of work, we have a lot of people out of work, they have time on their hands. So it's a perfect opportunity for Bowman grads and other people to go, hey, let's get together and have a cooking class. Let's have a social circle. So we're seeing social capital being raised by people who are doing community gardens and community health programs and all kinds of get-togethers. Sita and I say that dinner parties can change the world.
Yes, we do. We believe that.
And we are not saying that early scanning or scanning as an annual checkup is a bad idea. It's fantastic, of course. But
it doesn't prevent illness.
Exactly. Real preventative is do whatever you can in your daily life every day, because that really then accumulates for years and years of health to come. Look at your habits, change what you can, and if you keep changing what you can, you will end up with a healthier lifestyle overall. You might still get sick, but your chances will drop of getting sick. And then if you have that annual checkup, it's not to see if you got sick or not. It's also the way I learned with Bowman College is you can adjust certain signals from the body. The body is trying to talk to you all the time, right?
Absolutely.
And if you have a sniffly nose, you might want to check at one point if you're lactose intolerant or what's going on. This, and then you can adjust your lifestyle. Sita, you had a comment.
Yeah, well, and on the flip side, we're talking about being preventative and being proactive, really. But then, Ed, you were talking about programs that help people who are already sick. And the Ceres Project, we actually have one of the instructors at Bowman College who's heading up the cooking for the Ceres Project. And what they're doing is they're making food for people who are suffering from cancer and recovering from cancer. And I was hoping you could talk to what is the role of food in that case in assisting in recovery and providing really vital nutrients for somebody?
What some people look at is a single food. So what about the role of broccoli? What about the role of green tea? What about the role of flax seeds? But really what we're looking for with organic food is diverse food and prepared with love and looking at synergies. So when someone is ill, they fall out of rhythm, they fall out of health, they fall out of their job, they get upset, they get scared. Everybody in the whole family starts to go down with them. By bringing food to people and making food with people, and in the Ceres Project, we have young people involved, it's changed the whole game because people who are sick don't have the energy to cook and eat good food. So what we're seeing is people are not having recurrence of illness. So if someone had an illness like cancer or diabetes, they can manage it and they can live for 5, 10, 20, 30 years if they're getting the food. And then in the family context, the family is learning skills of how to put food on the table for their loved one. So it flips the dynamic from fear and dire consequences to hope and participation.
I love that synergetic, the one that I
can't. Synergistic.
Synergistic that I can't even speak, that one. I like a lot.
There.
I would call it, in nature, if I learned anything in my life, it's about ecology. It's the study of relationships. And synergy for me is just another extension of that principle of ecology that is everything is connected. Every action you do, every action you don't do has an effect on you and on your environment around it. So it's really just actually applying the principle of ecology in all of our life circumstances, which is beautiful.
I want to make a comment about food as medicine.
Yes.
Is that food is health building. Food is health support. When people have a weak system, be it the immune system, the respiratory system, the liver, the kidney, the lungs, etc., what we do with healing foods is we identify the weak systems, and then we identify the herbs, the spices, the foods, the nutrients that are in the food that are provided with much more complexity when it's food-based. And then those systems begin to get stronger and healthier, and the illness begins to recede. So rather than let's kill the disease, we're not fighting disease. We never fight disease. We're just strengthening body systems.
Yes, and it's laughable to honestly to see a nutrition study where they not just you spoke about you're studying broccoli. They're not often it's not even broccoli that is being studied. It's one element within broccoli, and then we think we found the reason for why broccoli is good. Then we extract it, we put it in a neutral environment. and we sell it as a pill form for $8. Right. And then we discover 10 years later that there are so many precursors and, you know, assisting nutrients around that one element that's all necessary. We always say it on the show, every single person, being, nutrient, every element on this planet is necessary and has its own role, and we can't just extract one and hope it works the same way.
Mark. And more information is being made available to us where we find out that it's not just about eating one thing, it's eating many things, because that's what actually creates the whole. Ed, you mentioned something of not coming from the place of fear, and I'm wondering, in your work, have you found that intention is just as important? The intention of your eating and the intention of the food that you eat plays a big role in that as well?
This is why we call it holistic nutrition, because it's not just biochemistry. It's physical, emotional, mental, physical, social, spiritual, environmental. And intention is certainly that attitude of, I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to get it right. And when people line up around that, when friends and family and loved ones line up around this food is healing food, the energy that we bring amplifies the food many times. If we're feeling lonely and lost and depressed and fatalistic and we eat healthy food, it doesn't have the big boom that lining it up with that much love and support has.
And we're in such a fear-based, anxiety-ridden society that so few people are catching this, and it's not really that surprising. That
no, we're
suffering.
Not. This is a hopeful, wonderful, powerful.
Bring it on.
We can do anything. Bring it on. Right. This is our country, our democracy, our...
It's our time.
Our life.
Not our in terms of ownership, just to clarify that.
Our in the general.
Yes, this is our
culture.
Time, and we can contribute and make it beautiful. And we do want to talk about food as therapy a little bit more in depth in a really therapeutic approach. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Bryan.
And with us now, joining us, is Carol Beard from the Gerson Institute, the president of the board of directors and training and coaching specialist. Carol, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
It's such a pleasure to have you. I have deepest respect for your work. Tell us about the Gerson Institute. Why was it founded, and what do you offer?
I'd love to tell you about the Gerson Institute. Charlotte Gerson, Dr. Gerson's daughter, founded the Gerson Institute. It's a nonprofit organization promoting the work and mission of her father to heal naturally. We are located in San Diego, the headquarters, international headquarters, and we answer phone calls and email questions from all over the world. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I wanted you to tell us more about what this approach is. What does it encompass?
The Gerson therapy, I'd love to tell you how the Institute was founded.
Yes, sure. Please, sorry.
That too quickly. It's an interesting story.
Yes.
Dr. Gerson, his whole entire life, tried to promote his work and what he was finding out about good organic food and how it could heal the body, and he faced obstacle after obstacle over and over. He finally published his book, and then a year later he dies. So Charlotte Gerson, living in New York, left with pallets of his book, just wanted to sell them and get the word out, so she started lecturing. Well, she got an order for 50 books from a gentleman in Los Angeles, California, and she was surprised that he was ordering so many books, so she called him up and ended up finding out that he was president of a convention here in L.A., and she ended up speaking there. They later, together, founded the Gerson Institute. That was in 1977.
So why did he order 50 books? He wanted to make it a gift to his...
He was using them at the convention with all the speakers and offering to
Beautiful.
Sell those.
Wonderful.
So, within a year of Dr. Gerson's death, they may never have been published. And then Charlotte never intended really to do what she did, but her entire life. She'll be 90, by the way, next March, and she's still driving herself to our clinic in Mexico, teaching and sharing the work and results of her father. So getting back on track, and your other question was?
No, I'm happy you told us that story. It's so inspirational and like so meant to be that happened at that time.
We offer a lot of many, many services here at the Institute. We do the screening for the clinic that's in Mexico, just across the border, about 20 minutes, located by the beach. We have one other clinic. There's only two Gerson clinics that are certified. There may be more that claim to be, but there's only two that are authorized that do the Gerson therapy properly. We screen clients to go there, and preferably, ideally, that's the best way to start the Gerson therapy. We have other services here. If someone chooses to do the therapy at home, we have coaching, telephone coaching. We sell books and DVDs and offer classes. There's a Gerson Basic Workshop 3 times a year, the practitioner training 1 a year. We have doctors that are certified to offer assistance in different parts of the world. Not a lot, but we do have more in training. What have I missed?
What does the therapy address?
For people who are not familiar with the Gerson Institute, what do you actually do?
The Gerson therapy, the way that it heals the body is supporting the whole body system. I like what you were saying just a minute ago about holistic approach, because actually Dr. Gerson says that in his book. The will of the patient is the most important component of healing. And a patient that's not willing and not fighting for his life, it's not just enough to eat the food. So Gerson therapy consists of food, organic meals, 3 a day, 13 organic fresh juices, 1 served hourly, and some supplements. It's not just food and juices, but coffee taken rectally. And what makes Dr. Gerson's treatment stand out are those two things, organic food and detoxification. It's not just enough to feed the body, but you've got to rid it of the stored toxins in the body. So a person on the full Gerson therapy would get 13 juices a day, 3 organic meals prepared in a special way so the nutrients aren't destroyed. And if they were strong enough, they could get as many as 4 to 5 coffee enemas a day.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Bryan.
And we're talking about the story, the power of food, both as a preventative measurement, as a part of our lifestyle, and also in therapeutic use. With us on the phone is Carol Beard, the president of the board of directors and training and coaching specialist at and off the Gerson Institute. Carol, it was very much focused on cancer treatment, and it has gone beyond that. How much, what illnesses do you address with this treatment?
Well, actually, Dr. Gerson's story starts with migraine headaches, that he suffered with severely and had to stay in a darkened room for days because of them. And that led him to discovering a diet could help relieve him of those. After that, he later discovered his patients that he treated with TB on the same migraine diet recovered from skin TB. And then from there went to diabetes, and not until then was a cancer patient put on the therapy and recovered liver cancer. And this was in the 30s. So, yes, it does focus on cancer. Cancer's a very popular illness these days. There's phone rings off the hook here, and not just with the elderly, but in the people in their 30s. So that seems to be the focus, but because the therapy treats the body, builds the immune system, cleanses the body, it's nonspecific and it's healing. It will heal other areas, arthritis, diabetes, asthma. My own daughter, and that's how I got introduced to it in 1975, at the age of 9, she had severe asthma and attacks every 2 months. Her infant body at the age of 2 would just heave and cave, struggling for air. And a simple diet at the age of 9, 6 years after being on medication and shots, a simple diet, a few juices and a cheap juicer, and she never had another asthma attack. She's 45.
Wow.
She runs 6 to 8 miles 3 times a week, lives by the beach, owned her own dog that just passed away a couple of years ago. It's remarkable.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Beautiful. It's remarkable.
Well, I love what you were saying, too, about it being a choice, being a commitment, and the willpower that goes into to choosing to want to heal. And I would love to hear, can you tell us some stories? Because I know that for some people, you know, it's a little bit daunting when you're suffering. And I would love, it's not just about recovering the body, but recovering the spirit. Can you tell us about how people have learned to take responsibility for their own health through this therapy?
Even if the therapy might not be successful in every single case, right? I mean, reclaiming your life for some time and extending it perhaps is already worth it.
Exactly. The one of the frequently asked questions we get is, you know, what's your statistics? What, you know, what's the success rate? And I try to get the person to see how easy it is to make a change in their life. Try it for a month. Dr. Gerson says in his book, the results are decisive. And within 4 weeks, even if the person is still too weak to fully gain that strength they need with natural food and juices to recover totally, there's such a remarkable difference. We sometimes receive letters from family members of patients that knew that they probably weren't going to make it but chose to go on this therapy anyway as palliative care. And the family members will write and thank us or call us and tell us how peaceful and how painless it was for their passing. It's convincing.
Carol, if people wanted to learn more, do you have lots of information on your website? What's that website?
Gerson.org, www.gerson.org. We've got testimonies on there. There's a video of a young girl that had melanoma and recovered. You can watch that, all of our bookstores and our classes and Charlotte speaking, everything's on.
And that's G-E-R-S-O-N, Gerson.org. Thank you so much. Carol Beard, President of the Board of Directors and Training and Coaching Specialist at the Gerson Institute, calling in today to an organic conversation. Pleasure to have you. Thank you, Carol.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Thank you for having me.
We're looking at the power of food. We are what we eat today on an organic conversation. With us in the studio still is Dr. Ed Bowman, founder and president of the Bowman College, and we want to learn and know everything about what you offer in your college, what people can learn and study, and who is coming to Bowman College to learn and study. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Bryan.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Every generation blames the one before. Frustrations come beating on your door.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at bowmancollege.org. That's BAUMAN college.org.
Trace, the new signature restaurant at the W San Francisco, is committed to creating an enriching and thoughtful culinary experience. By fusing the vibrant local personality of the Bay Area with a dedication to socially responsible food, Trace ensures all the ingredients are traceable back to their natural origins, locally sourced and sustainable. For reservations, visit trace-sf.com, trace-sf.com, or call 415-817-7836.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at UrbanRemedy.com. That's UrbanRemedy.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Bryan.
Today's show is focused on food, the power of food, the therapeutic and culinary delight of what the world of food offers us. With us in the studio, Dr. Ed Bowman, president and founder of Bowman College, one of the leading institutions in the United States to offer culinary arts and holistic nutrition programs. Before we dive back into that interview, here is Sita Rani Bryan with our weekly update on Your Holistic Bite.
Thanks, Helga. Well, we are talking about persimmons today. Such a culinary delight. I love that Mark said it's the food of the gods. I am in complete agreement with that. And fuyu and hachia, the two that he pointed out as two different types, are extremely different in texture, as you remember from what Mark said, but also then extremely different in the way they're used in the kitchen. Fuyus, which are kind of shaped a little bit more like a tomato and are firmer and can be eaten like an apple, they're really great for slicing and putting in pies. So think apple pie and not pumpkin pie. And they also make great fruit salads. You know, when Mark said you cut into it and it has this beautiful star pattern, can you imagine that gorgeous orange color of these star pattern pellets and then or petals and topped with some pomegranate seeds? It just has a lot of versatility. And then on the flip side with your hachias, which are completely different in the culinary world, they're so super soft when they're fully ripened. And again, do not try and eat one a little bit too early. It's going to take all the moisture out of your mouth because it's so astringent. But if you wait for it and it's creamy like pudding on the inside, you're going to be so thrilled. And using it in pudding is a really great idea. Using it in any place where you would use pureed fruit, because it has that nice creamy texture. So using it in sorbets, you could also use it in pie, but this time think pumpkin instead of apple. And then smoothies and sweet sauces, or any place where you would otherwise use applesauce or mashed banana. So persimmons are high in tannins, you know, because it has that astringent quality, and tannins have shown up in some recent research saying that they can help suppress the proteins that cause hardening of the arteries. It's also high in lycopene, which is an amazing antioxidant, and potassium, which is great for regulating your heart rhythm. So hachias being this completely different texture, I was really excited to talk about a recipe with it, because this time of year at Bowman College, which is such a perfect time, the right-hand woman to Ed Bowman, our operations manager, Karen Rothstein, has this dynamite recipe for persimmon cookies. And last year at the holidays, she put together little boxes of these and gave them away to all the staff at the holiday party. We were just thrilled. And I was able to get Karen's secret family recipe for persimmon cookies to share with all of you on our website, on organicconversation.com, or on Facebook. It's got warmth from cinnamon and nutmeg and clove. It's got little bits of nuts in it and raisins. And it is just something you are going to love to make and share with the people you care about this holiday. So check out the recipe for persimmon cookies on our website or Facebook page. That is Your Holistic Bite.
Thank you, Chef Sita. Wow, persimmons. Yes, this is the time. We're talking about the power of food, both in taste as well as in its application as a creator of significant well-being. Today here in this hour on an organic conversation, I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Bryan.
And still with us in the studio is Dr. Ed Bowman, the president and founder of Bowman College, one of the leading institutions in the United States to use the power of food both in culinary arts as well as in medicinal. Can we say medicinal, Ed? It's your show.
Yeah.
In that field of holistic nutrition, I should say. Yes. Ed, we just heard from the Gerson Institute. Again, that website is gerson.org, about their therapeutic use of food and detoxification. You are a prolific writer.
Yes.
How many books have you written? I stopped.
Nine.
Yeah, nine books. Mm-hmm. Your latest one, which I believe just came out.
Well, I'm trying to get these books out.
Yes.
And so the Christmas books will be out in January. Yes. So that way there's a 2012 spin. Because to do anything good, it takes forever.
Yes. And you can, take your book that you don't like and return it and then get a voucher from your local bookstore and then get your book in January. But it's specifically focused on cancer.
Yes.
Which we just heard from our guest before on the phone. It's, as we all know, unfortunately, it's an epidemic illness that is in the Western world, very much so, and around the world. What are you addressing through Bauman College? How much can people get into it? You founded this school, and you have two specific areas to make it a career, or just dive in because you want to heal yourself and your loved ones.
Well, everyone can eat for health. So the model that I've created is Eating for Health, which people can find out on the website. And then that's the basis of one book called The Whole Food Guide to Breast Cancer Survival. I wanted to call it Breast Cancer Recovery, but New Harbinger Press said, no, it's Survivor. So fine. And that really helps people with cancer to know what to do and what to do to prevent and to live with and to recover from breast cancer. And it would also be good for prostate cancer, other reproductive illnesses. The other book that's coming forward also in January is the Flavors of Health Cookbook. Hmm. So it takes the yummy recipes from our college and that myself and Chef Lizette Marks have put together with nutrition information and culinary arts tips and techniques. So that is perfect for the healthy home chef.
Well, and something else I wanted to dive into because Carol brought this up was juicing and cleansing and detoxifying. And I know that that's a big part of what happens at Bauman College are these vitality fasting retreats. Can you tell us about what those are, when those happen, and what the benefit is of joining one?
For 28 years, I've been leading fasting retreats every year, two or three a year, with groups of 20, 30, or 40 people. So it's really incredible for us all to live together, to be in a natural setting, to have totally organic foods, all plant-based, and to have fresh fruit juices, vegetable juices, organic broths, and Vital Scoop smoothies. So we do that in Woodside, California, in May and in August. And people learn. We have health education classes. We have yoga. We have meditation. We have exercises. So it's a full camp for people, whether you're healthy or you're ill, to learn how to do this at home. So the juice fasting retreats are called vitality retreats. And I can also coach people at a distance because people can't always come when we're having it.
And the cleansing once a year, it is focused on the body, but it's kind of a recheck in on body, mind, and spirit, right?
It helps us locate our true self.
Yes.
And helps us connect with spirit from the earth and from the creative source.
And can you tell us about, you've been mentioning all these great programs that you have, and what are some of the other courses that are going on at Bauman, and can you tell us the website?
Well, for consumers, we have an 8-week program called Nutrition Essentials for Everyone, which is really a nice selection of nutrition content, cooking information, and how-tos, and behavior change. So those go on at our schools seasonally. And then the two main programs, the vocational programs, are the Natural Chef program, of which Sita Rani Bryan is the program director. We're very proud of that. And that's a 5-month program at our four locations in Boulder, Santa Cruz, Berkeley, and Pengrove, California, and Sonoma County. And they start in spring and fall. And then we have an 18-month professional nutrition consultant program, which is at our four campuses, as well as can be taken through distance learning program.
Yeah, and distance learning being anywhere in the world, really.
Anywhere in the world.
Do the program online, have a one-on-one mentor through the program to help you really get all the solid info.
We're very people-centered. We're very heart-centered.
So
rather than head-centered or feet-centered, because that's not the way to do it.
Well,
but it's really about bringing people together and building understanding of all this complicated information to put it in digestible format and give it
no
taste.
Pun intended.
Very punny intended.
Yeah, very punny intended.
Very punned.
So there's the 8-week program that you mentioned. Is that an intro for the others, or is that complete
in
itself for somebody?
It's just nutrition essentials for everyone.
Yes.
And you know, there's all this argument and confusion. I do not like foodology.
Uh-huh.
There's one field of nutrition. There are many different approaches, and we all want to rally around fresh, natural, whole, and organic foods.
Yes. So 8-week class for anyone, even a mom or a dad at home who wants to cook healthier for their family or for themselves.
And in the coming year, I want to make it as a course people can take at a distance as well. So keep an eye out for that one.
Then 5 months culinary arts and 18 months nutrition consultant if you want to work with clients or use that in your career, however you may be working with food. All that information is on the website, mm-hmm. Bauman College. That's BAUMANcollege.org. And including the fasting retreat, people can sign up now. Right?
Look at the community forum and look for information related to this show. I will post my notes in terms of research that supports organic foods, healthy foods, healing with whole foods. And we'll also post some of that on the Organic Conversation blog as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. Dr. Ed Bauman, the founder and president of Bauman College. Again, that website is Bauman College, BAUMANcollege.org. Fantastic work. And anyone who's interested in diving more into the world of food, either from a culinary angle or health, because ultimately it's all connected. Yes, this is the address.
My stated goal is to create national wellness programs based on eating for health. So this is accessible for everyone, and to see that come forward in the next couple of years. So I'm working with people in D.C. and people in the state capital to bring that forward and to run it through insurance carriers, because people want this information and they have time and interest and need. So it's a matter of who's going to pay for it.
Yes, and may it one day actually be the foundation of our or part of our foundation of our healthcare system.
It shall be. You heard it here.
This could be practiced and taught in schools and on every level of community.
That's
because,
the plan.
Again, the way we eat is
and the way we approach
defining
eating.
Society on an individual level as well as on a community level. Mm-hmm. Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are you going to leave us with today?
I don't think we have time for that, but we do have a mailbag we want to open up. We get comments from you, our listeners, for whom the show is all about, actually, is addressing every week, and we love it. So please, as a reminder, send us your comments and suggestions and questions or recipes or stories to share, SHARE, share at anorganicconversation.com. We love to hear from you. And we got a comment from somebody who just traveled in Turkey, and she said she brought downloads of our podcasts with her, and that was the only reminder of home. And she said it was the sweetest thing to sit somewhere in Turkey at the Blue Mosque and listen to one episode of An Organic Conversation. So the show is traveling around the world with our listeners. Thank you for that and for sharing that. Very, very sweet.
I think that's an organic moment in itself right there.
Yes, that's
yes, well, yes, it is. That was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer is Kristen Ponger. Studio engineer, as always, the fantastic Jen Lloyd.
Yay.
Production assistants are Lauren Mulcahy and Vanessa Farron.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, please go to iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
Again, the websites today were gerson.org, G-E-R-S-O-N, gerson.org, or Bauman College, BAUMANcollege.org, for any further information on the healing attributes or the culinary wonderful world of whole foods. We host Helge Hellberg
and Mark Mulcahy
and Sita Rani Brian.
And we will be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
reasons why.